Some of you married couples might be a little nervous after hearing that gospel because you might interpret it as saying that you're not going to be married in heaven. And that is true. But does that mean that you're not going to be in an intimate relationship with your spouse in heaven? No. What the Lord is telling us is that the exclusive nature of marriage, which is important on this earth, a man has to remain faithful to his wife and a wife faithful to her husband, and not have, you know, and not have affairs, you know, outside of marriage. But in heaven, there's no exclusivity. And so everybody is utterly in love with everybody else. And so all the boundaries that we have in this world are broken. And we're all living, as Jesus says, like the angels. We're all living this unbounded life. Glorious love. Deep intimacy with everyone. So thinking about the next world, it's good to pray for a happy death. It's a very traditional Catholic prayer. Lord, please grant me a happy death. And what does it mean to have a happy death? We probably would think it means being surrounded by our loved ones, not having too much pain. But there's something deeper, and that is to lose fear. We see this in today's first reading from Second Book of Maccabees. It's a history book about what happened in the 2nd century B.C. to the Jews who were attacked by the Syrians. And the Assyrians tried to destroy the Jewish religion by forcing the people to worship false gods and to eat pork and other things against the Jewish law. And we see this woman, a mother with her 7 children, who so loved God and so loved their Jewish tradition that they would rather die than break the law of God. They've lost fear, even fear of death. So a happy death, it means being faithful to God and having a clean conscience. You confirmation students, you're getting ready for a beautiful moment in your spiritual journey. Your confirmation is when you will be sealed with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You will be commissioned by Jesus Christ to communicate that blessed truth, that He is the Lord. He is your Christ. He's your Messiah. He's your Savior. And He's everybody else's. And people who do not have a relationship with God, how sad. What a tragic existence not to have a relationship with the Lord. And you confirmation students have the opportunity going through your life teen and confirmation classes and learning more about the Lord. You have the opportunity now of being more capable of communicating your faith in Jesus Christ to other teens who may not know Him or who may have very anti-Christian values. Here at St. Lucy's, we took up a survey, a month or two ago, and it asked a number of questions of our parishioners. 817 people filled out the questionnaire. Many of you did. Today we have the results. They're on the table in the back, on your left side as you go out, and also at the other tables. And the question that most interested me in terms of the results was this one. St. Lucy Parish is helping me grow in my relationship with Jesus Christ. Out of the 817 people, 3% said no. They don't believe that St. Lucy's is helping them grow in the relationship with Jesus Christ. 34% said, yes, we agree that the parish is helping us. 62% put strongly agree. A total of 96% of the 817 people said they are experiencing being part of St. Lucy's is helping them grow in their relationship with Christ. That was so encouraging because that has been our focus. That has been our passion, really, in our ministry here, to try to help people have a personal connection with the Lord, not just believe that God's out there someplace like the Star Wars force. No, God is in you, in your life. Jesus Christ loves you personally. Jesus Christ is your Savior. And whatever you need saved in your life, maybe a drinking problem, maybe a painful relationship, maybe a lot of family tension, maybe a physical illness. There's so many things that we need, where we need to feel the saving touch of Jesus Christ. That's what the Christian faith is about, to make that act of faith every day that He is our Lord, He is our Savior, He does care for us, He will care for us. We've got to let Him. So part of our responsibility here is to be stewards of the truth, stewards of the Christian message. A steward is someone who does something for the master. So the master, in this case, Jesus Christ, needs you and me to be good stewards in three areas: time, talent, and treasure. We put a lot of attention on time the last couple of years. How much time are you willing to give to prayer every day? How much time are you willing to give to your personal friendship with the Lord every day? And we have, in our budget, tried to support that by spending quite a few $1,000s buying the little black books, little blue books, white books, burgundy books, which are helps to prayer. They've got scripture. They've got reflections on scripture. We've been giving thousands of them out. And most, how many of you have got at least one of those little books? Can I see a show of hands? That's fantastic. Well over 2/3 of the parish. We'll be giving more out, little blue books coming along at the beginning of Advent. But the point is, we all are invited to spend time with the one we love. Now, you're never going to have a good personal friendship with your friends if you don't spend time. And the same thing is true in our spiritual life. We need time with the Lord. It's part of being a good steward of the Christian message. Every day, some time reading the scriptures, speaking to the Lord, listening to Him speak to us, offering our needs and our joys and sorrows and struggles to Him, seeking His guidance, seeking His wisdom. The parish has also tried to really encourage everybody to give some service, to engage in some service. Now, I think you confirmation students are supposed to do some service. Is that right? Is that a yes or no? It's a yes. Yeah. Even if you weren't preparing for confirmation, every Christian should find some way of serving. It could be serving the poor. Like we have our outreach program, 5 days a week, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. People who are really struggling financially, can't pay their bills, don't have enough food on the table, need some help with rent, they're in an emergency. We provide a lot of money from the parish to help those folks. And a lot of our parishioners work over there. The office is on the other side of the parish office. It's a beautiful way of serving. And hundreds of our parishioners serve in different liturgical ministries. We like to see all the confirmation students participating after you're confirmed, perhaps as Eucharistic ministers, reading the Word of God, serving Mass, participating in the choir. So that second component of stewardship, find a way to give your talent, your gifts in acts of service. Next Sunday, we're going to pass out a stewardship form, which has a list of all the different ministries and groups of the parish. And if you didn't go to the ministry mingle in October and sign up for a ministry, you'll have an opportunity to do that next week. And the third way in which we are good stewards for the Lord is to manage our money according to biblical precepts, biblical principles. Money is a very important part of the spiritual journey. It can kill the spiritual life, and it can help the spiritual life. St. Paul says that the craving for money is a root of evil, because we are willing to do all kinds of dishonest things when we crave money. So attachment and dependence on material possessions and money can do a lot of harm to us. But using money for the good, for good causes, to support people's spiritual lives, to be generous with the poor, this is an important part of our spiritual journey. So the Bible presents a simple spiritual practice to help us have the right attitude towards money. And the practice is called tithing. In Spanish, el diezmo. The Spanish, diezmo, means a tenth. Same thing is with the English. The tithe means a tenth. We give one-tenth of our income to do the Lord's work. And not just people who are working full-time, also teenagers who might have a part-time job, get an allowance, 10% of your allowance goes to do the Lord's work. In the Old Testament, it was a law for every Jew to give the first 10% of their produce and their income to help the poor, to help the temple, to support the priests, to support widows and orphans, so that it's beyond our own circle, our own family, to help the wider community and to support our faith community. In Deuteronomy, it says the tithe is sacred to the Lord. So use that tithe for good, beyond your own personal life. Early Christians followed the same practice of tithing as a way of making sure that they were generous, that they didn't get tight, and they didn't have anxiety and worry about money, and that they had the first thought when they got their paycheck, how am I going to use some of this for doing the Lord's work? Last year, I shared with you that one of my inspirations for tithing is my mom. She's been giving away 10% of her income for many years, even when she only had Social Security to live on. There was a time she was really poor. All she had was Social Security. But she gave 10% of her Social Security check every month, 5% to her parish in Alameda, 5% to charities or poor people. Only once in all those years was she tempted not to pay her tithe. And it was because she had a whole bunch of extra bills, and she told me, Kevin, I'm sorry, you know, I'm not going to be able to pay my tithe this month. I said, Mom, you've been paying your tithe for years. The Lord's always been taking care of you. Don't lose your trust in divine providence now. So she took my challenge. She paid her tithe and did not pay her bills and wondered, well, Lord, the problem is yours. It's in your court. And she wondered, how's the Lord going to figure this one out? So 2 days later, she goes to a dinner for the Italian Catholic Federation at her parish. And who wins the $1,500 door prize? Margie Joyce. And that kind of story is common with people who take the risk, to take that risk on divine providence. I learned that a long time ago. I never had enough money. That was my feeling. Before I was a priest, I had all kinds of bills, and I had a lot of educational debt to pay, thousands of dollars. And when I was ordained, I had read the scriptures. I knew the teaching was give 10%. I said, I got to do it. But I didn't want to do it. I was very anxious about it. But once I started doing it, I took the risk on divine providence. My attitude changed. I stopped worrying about money. I started feeling more generous. And it's funny, money just appeared. You know, it just kind of appeared. When I didn't know how to pay debts, a check would come along, somebody would give me something. I've heard this story over and over again with people who have finally decided they're going to do it. The first 10% is not my money. It's the Lord's money. So what I recommend is 5% to your local faith community. Those of you who belong to St. Lucie's, 5% to St. Lucie's, 5% to charities and to the poor. Now, tithing may seem too demanding. We may feel that there's no way that I can give away 10% of my income. Here's a suggestion. Take your 5%, which equals 2 hours. For a 40-hour week, it equals 2 hours of work. So you put that 5% in the envelope and put it in front of the crucifix, or if you have a little altar in your house, and just leave it there for a week. And if you need it for some emergency, take it and use it. But if there's no emergency, you leave it there. If it's there Sunday morning, then you bring it to offer to the Lord in the collection at church. You'll be surprised how many times at the end of the week that envelope is still there in front of the crucifix or on your little altar. And then a further risk and dependence on divine providence. After some time, take a second envelope. Put another 5%, which would be for the poor and for charities. Put that in front of the crucifix. And if you don't need it for an emergency during the week, you send that off to some charities. You give it to some poor people. Again, you will be surprised how many times that envelope is there at the end of the week. Stewardship is a beautiful part of being a Christian, of sharing the time, the talent, and the treasure that the Lord has given me with the wider community. So next week, we're going to pass out a stewardship pledge form in which you can indicate what kind of time you're going to give this year to the Lord in prayer, how you're going to use your talents and service, and how much of your treasure you're going to offer to your faith community. And St. Paul says that when we make this kind of decision, and it's your decision, you know, you don't just decide you're going to give the 10% because Father Kevin said you're supposed to do 10% because that's what the Bible says. No, you have to pray about this. You have to make a conscientious decision before God. You might just make a different decision, like Father John. He's going to give 20%. Yeah. So, is that right, Father John, huh? So you make your own decision, but make a decision. And then follow the spirit that St. Paul speaks about when he says, God loves a cheerful giver.